Yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Do you think hiring is harder than ever? Well, it is. It's difficult if you don't find the right person. That's why you have to hire for a culture fit. Skills alone are not enough. Well, today I have an amazing guest on. Her name is Heather Crockett, and she walks us through a process to help you get it right, because you need a system and you also need four types of interview questions. We walk you through every one of them and how to use them. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. We're just so grateful you keep showing up, because if you do, we're going to keep bringing it with great information from some of the top thinkers in all of dentistry to help you improve your practice in your life. And here's something that comes up a lot. We coach practices all over the country, and dentists everywhere are struggling with the hiring thing. They hire for skill, but they fire for attitude. And what's worse is they don't think about how this fits into our culture. So here's the question: hiring for culture fit. Why aren't skills alone enough to figure this out? And we're going to answer that question today with an amazing coach. Her name is Heather Crockett. Heather, thanks for being back. I appreciate you.
Thank you for inviting me back, Kirk. I always love coming on to chat with you.
Yeah, I love it too. And I'll just go there. I have been on a journey for 31 years. I am the worst at this, and I have learned a few things to be better. And while it's easy to say this, it's harder to do. And that's why this podcast is so important. We're going to go into the details of the things that we learn over and over and over again for ourselves and the clients that we coach. But Heather, you coach so many great practices. Let's go super high level. I always like to start with the why. Why is this topic so important today?
Because you've heard the old adage that you're only as strong as your weakest link, and it is so true. One bad hire can totally erode your culture. Your team will feel it. Your best team members will look at them and say, why am I here? Why am I staying here? It just... The cost, it's so high. It's too high. And it's a hard thing to eliminate it completely. But when we're hiring with people that are aligned with our values, with our culture, with the things that are truly important to us, if they're also important to the person that we hire, oh my gosh, it's a magical difference from that when we're just hiring for skill alone. When we make that hire, it can be the difference between an awesome result versus a terrible result, where we end up losing more team members. We'll manage more problems and really make our team thrive if we are cognizant of hiring for culture.
Yeah, let me just say this. Nothing frustrates a great team member than when you consistently tolerate a bad one.
And I was hoping you would say that, Kirk.
Yeah, I'm going to say that up front, because all of you have experienced this. You know, you don't think about your great team members ever. Your brain is always on the one that's not working out, the one that's struggling. And in fairness to them, they didn't actually go through a process. So we're going to take you through a process today. Now, let me tell you a little bit more of the why, because if you have 8 team members, 10 team members, or 20 team members, you know this is true. You have a nucleus. You have a nucleus of a few team members, maybe 4 or 5, or maybe 3, that fit your core values and they get results and they're your favorite team members. If you, as a leader, grow that nucleus from 3 to 4, just add 1 this year, that's the right culture fit, and they're the right person in the right seat, your practice is transformed. You're going to see a bump in everything upwards. You're going to go, wow, that was so much easier, so much better. You do this again, repeat the process, add a fifth next year. Then the year after that, you add a sixth and you retain, keep them, grow them. I'm telling you, you get to a place where you go, I don't even know how we did what we did, but this is the greatest thing ever. It's easy to say, but hard to do. So let's go into the details. Like, what more would you say about this as we unpackage this?
I would just say that usually what I've experienced with my clients and what I have observed is that they're hiring for experience, like, and their ad will reflect that too. Oh, they must have Eaglesoft experience, or they must have at least 2 years of Dentrix knowledge, something to that effect. And while that can be good, when we do that and we're only hiring for what they're good at software-wise or skill-wise, then we miss out on the behavioral piece. If they don't fit the culture, if they don't care about the same things that we care about, you know, we talk about core values all the time. If they don't care about those same things, then we're going to end up being a mismatch in the long run. So is it worth it? You can train skill, but you can't train the core values thing. You can't train that behavior and what they really truly care about.
Yeah. One of the things that I'll encourage you is you have to have a clear line of sight on what behavior looks like in your practice. That's why we're big fans of the core values conversation. Core values are nothing more than non-negotiable behaviors. That's it. And so here at ACT and Smile Source and what we're building here in the future is all-in attitude is my favorite. Like, I don't care if you're smart. I don't care if you're tall. I don't care if you're short. I don't care about anything other than, like, I am an all-in attitude person. And then the others are obviously important too, but that's the number one quality, at least I'm looking for, is like somebody that's into the same thinking. They don't say to themselves, that's not my job. And so when you have those, you know, that framework or those guardrails, now you know what you're looking for, and it keeps you from just falling into the skill trap, you know. And I'll say, like, the skill trap is hard, because when you find somebody that skills, like the Eaglesoft thing, you won't even look at hiring or interviewing somebody if they were an office manager and then work on the other side of town in a great practice that was restorative and cosmetic and it had Eaglesoft. And you're like, oh my gosh, this person's hired, you know? So you skip over the important things that drive you crazy. And this is why you have to have a system. So hiring without a system always leads to hiring mistakes, right?
Totally. Here's the thing that happens with most practices is that somebody quits and all of the sudden it becomes like a fire alarm stage five, where it's like, oh, we need a warm body. We need someone in here now. So it turns to that urgency more than it turns to an intentional and thoughtful process to hire someone that's going to fit the culture, that's really going to, like we said, care about the same things that we care about. So when we have that systematic approach, then we will avoid interviews that just become casual conversations. We'll avoid just going off of those resumes, because resumes might say one thing, but it might not be the total whole truth, right? And then we're not basing our decision based off of personality as well as that resume, like I mentioned before. We want to make sure that the systematic approach also helps us to have a consistent way to interview each candidate. Because if you've ever interviewed multiple people, you might feel like, oh, that interview went really well, and ugh, that one I didn't perform as well. Like, you, as the one doing the interviewing, because you might have missed some steps or missed some questions. So when you have that systematic approach, then it becomes a consistent cadence with each interview that you do.
Yeah. So I love what you just said. Like, when you create a system and you use it, you're making a statement to yourself and the team that we're going to build the ultimate dream team here year over year, because we have a system that speaks to it. Let's speak to the reality of a lot of the practices we coach. You know, when you lose somebody, like you said, you're reactive. Hands down, you're shorthanded, you know, and you're fatigued. So you suffer from fatigue syndrome. So, and you know this, whenever you're fatigued, you make bad decisions. You make quick decisions, you make the wrong decisions, and you're just swinging from the hip. And ultimately what it does, when you don't follow a system and you don't stick to it, you're going to get to a point where you're picking least worst option. You're going to get to two candidates and you're going to go, which one's the least worst, which is a very, very bad place to be. We don't want you at that. Am I here to say hiring is easy now than more than ever? No. I think the staffing shortage, I don't like the word staffing, but the ADA Health Policy Institute calls it the staffing issue. It will never go away, ever, if you're listening to this podcast. It will always be there. And that's where I think we have to up our game. You can't do what we used to do. Now, we need to think bigger and better about finding the right people. And there are the right people out there. You just got to create a system for how to do that. So, yep. How does that work, Heather?
So I would recommend having a structured hiring system that's going to include hiring for a predefined role. I remember one of my clients years ago who just put out an ad for an admin team member. Well, what exactly does that look like? I have no draw to that job if I don't know exactly what it is that I'm going to be doing every single day. So it's really important that you define that role so that whoever's interviewing for it and applying for it knows what they're getting into. Incorporating your core values into it. I always encourage my clients to include that in the ad. Usually based on the title, like you mentioned before, All in Attitude, Kirk, I can tell based off of just the title alone, I can have a pretty good sense of what that core value really means. And then asking structured interview questions consistently will help to remove bias and emotion from the process. This happens in dentistry all the time. Like, oh, my niece is going to interview for the job, or one of our team members' friends is going to interview for the job. We still want that to be a fair and even process. So by having those consistent questions, it's going to help to remove that bias.
Yeah, so true. And so what are those questions? Come on. Like, you just can't leave me. Like, now I'm preempting you with this because there's four types of interview questions and they really, really matter. And here's why they matter. Like, can you talk about that?
Yeah, for sure. Here's the thing. A person qualifies for a specific role based on multiple factors. It's not just like, hey, I like this person. I could hang with them.
Right.
Well, can they actually do specific things? What have they done in the past that helps qualify for them for this role? And how do we know how they're going to show up? That's going to really help us. These questions are going to help us to identify those things. So with the help from our friends at Bent Erickson, they have really helped us to provide these kinds of questions. And the first type is credential questions. So we need to know and understand what kind of education or certification that these candidates have, if applicable. This type of information can be verified using other sources like background and reference checks as well. But examples of this question are like, what was your major if they went to and attended college? What degrees do you hold? And what licenses do you hold? You could also throw in their certifications. There's a lot of hygienists that have like, they're laser certified, or there are some states that allow hygienists to do Botox now. Those kinds of questions are totally okay to ask and helps you to know and understand what those credentials and education are. Same thing with your dental assistants, right? There's some specific questions that you can ask, and even of associates, if you're hiring for an associate, what kind of certifications and education do they have? The next piece after credentialing is technical. Focusing on the job's minimum performance standards, these are questions that are designed to determine whether a candidate has the kind of technical knowledge necessary to do the job. I met with the team this morning and we were talking about Google Drive, which a lot of people are familiar with Google Drive. There's other people that are more familiar with Microsoft. But as we were talking about Google Drive, some of them were like, we never knew that this is something that we would have to do in the job that we're doing right now. And I said, that's okay, we'll help you. So depending on the role, again, you're going to predefine that role. It's going to depend on what kind of technical knowledge that they need. How do you add columns to Excel? Asking a simple question like that, if they look like and give you a blank stare, they probably don't know how to use Excel. What do you do when an insurance company has declined payment? A really great administrative team member.
That's a great one, yes.
Yes, is going to know how to answer that. And another question you could say is, can you walk me through how you decide when to recommend scaling and replating?
Ooh, I love that. Love that. Keep going.
Keep going. I'm going to keep going. So after technical, now we're going to move on to experience questions. This is one of the ones that I like the most is work experience. These questions focus on past duties and responsibilities. Some examples of questions for this are, how long did you work at those previous jobs? Describe in detail the kind of work that you did in your last job. And what are three aspects of a job that you are looking for in a new position that you did not get at your previous employer?
Yeah, you got to make the potential candidate think. And I think the most important thing is, like, you have to know what questions you can and can't ask. Totally. And I think this podcast is great because when you have them written, you can stay on the rails and you can ask the team member to get specific, you know? And, you know, one of the things that's important is finding out whether or not they're telling the truth. I mean, I think it's important to ask somebody when they've worked at a practice, like, what was your start date and what was your end date? You don't have to, because you're going to usually ask the question that everybody asks is, you know, would you hire this person again, which is the standard question. Now, I'm not opposed to that, but, like, people like to leave off information more than ever on a resume. And so my point is this, I, you know, from a value standpoint, I like when somebody's just telling me the truth, you know, so it's important to just go a little bit more granular in that. Now, the other thing too is the fourth is the behavior-based questions. Now, ultimately, let me just tee this up a little bit, Heather, and I know you go into the details, is, you know, when you're creating a great team and a culture fit, what it means is people are following your core values, which are non-negotiable, you know, behaviors at work. And so you're going to ask questions that would give you some sign of, does this person believe what you believe? Because your favorite people believe in the same thing that you believe in. And a lot of it comes back to just behavior-based. So what are behavior-based questions?
I'm so glad that you asked, Kirk. So these questions are going to give us the highest, best, most valuable learning in discovering information about how well or not well the applicant will fit the position and meet your expectations for how they'll behave in your practice. We love when they are tied to your core values. So we have lots of podcasts that you can go back and you can listen to. If you don't already have your core values established, this is important for this this part of the interview and these type of behavioral questions. Example could be, describe a time when your supervisor indicated that your performance was below standard. What did you do to improve and what was the result of your actions?
Yes.
So for a lot of team members, there is a time when they will go through a review process or a check-in where it just didn't go very well, or you provided some constructive criticism and feedback. You want them to be all in and grow and try to learn and ask, you know, for polling feedback too, like, hey, how did I do? What could I do to improve? So by asking that question, you'll get the person that you're interviewing to open up, hopefully, about when they had an opportunity to improve and get better.
Yeah.
Another one could be, every job produces different levels of stress, which is a true statement. What was the most stressful aspect of your previous job and how did you react to this? And I would also add to that, like, how did you resolve it? How did you get to a point where you weren't as stressed out anymore? Like, what are the key elements of managing that stress in that situation?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, so I was having a visceral moment is, like, it's not so much what they say, it's how they answer this question. So, like, how did you resolve stress at that previous employer? I found that, you know, sometimes people will quickly go to, well, it was a terrible place and her boss. Like, when somebody's slamming their old employment place and there's a pattern behind that, I promise you, you're going to be the next one. You know, if they look at it with a little bit of vulnerability and say, listen, it was sometimes a difficult place to work and I understand where the doctor was at. And, you know, that's a little bit more of a thoughtful response. So I'm always, it doesn't matter what they say. It's often, like, how they say it that I'm looking for, because that same thing is going to show up again and again and again. Would you agree with that?
I would, yeah. And throughout this whole process, you know, how they answer it, yes, and their body language says a lot about it too. Like, what they say, but how, like, physically, how did they react to that question? Did they stiffen up or did they start fidgeting a little bit? You know, it's really interesting what you can observe in those behaviors and reactions as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So keep going more into the behavioral. Anything else you would add about behavioral-based questions?
Yeah. So one other question that you can ask is, describe a time when you were selected as a leader or a representative of a group. What project or projects did you lead, and what was the result? Yeah. Because you really, you know, I worked with a client years ago who we talked about how every single team member, especially in a dental practice, is a leader. You can be a leader no matter what position you're in. But asking this kind of question gives you an idea of what leadership opportunities did that interviewee have in the past.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Yeah. And so it's so important to have these questions land. Now, again, you mentioned, you know, Bent Erickson. I we have to say this, like, this is not our expertise. Our expertise is building the culture. It's not necessarily the legality and which questions. So I would actually start with our good friends at Bent Erickson about what you can and can't ask. Then I would take what Heather said and I would create a template, a system, an actual system. And the other thing I would add on top of this is you're going to learn each time you do this. You're going to make mistakes. And I think it's really important just to learn from them, because you're not going to get this right every single time. And if you create the system, you learn from your mistakes, and you stay focused on building the dream team of people that fit your core values, right person, right seat, I'm telling you firsthand, it changes your life. And people are going to move on, and you'll lose one or two of them, but you can fall back on the system and you can say, we have a system for this. Now, there's other details to the system. If you listen to some of our other podcasts, one of the things I'm a big fan of is a video submission. Meaning, like, if you're going to apply for this role, you've got to create here at this amazing organization, we require people to create a 1-minute video and send it to us to tell us why they would be a good candidate. If you can't take your phone and press the go button and talk into your phone about why you'd be a great candidate, we won't even respond to you. And I'll tell you, those videos are very telling. I can often predict that person's going to get hired just by the quality of the video, how much they care. I mean, we have one of our current team members go, take 432. Yes, I've tried this. And she was joking. I thought that was actually kind of funny. But it spoke to, like, I really want this job and I want to get the submission right type of a thing. And then what you're going to find is those things around these four types of questions show up more and more and more. And when it comes time to making that decision, you're going to make less and less errors and find that one more person that'll add to that core group of people in your nucleus and change your life. So anything else you would add, Heather? Give us some final takeaways on this.
Yeah, I just think that the more you lean into your core values in the hiring process, the better. Because that really speaks to the culture that you are effectively building within your practice. So we have a really great resource that Bent Erickson helped us with, hiring FAQs. And as part of that, you're going to see that there's dozens and dozens of questions. I would really encourage our listeners to base questions off of their core values and what it is that they're looking and hoping for in finding the right behavior and the new right hire. Because you could go on to the internet or ChatGPT and find all sorts of questions you could ask in an interview. But here's the thing. Your dental practice is unique from every other dental practice. Your culture is unique and different from every other dental practice. So what are the questions that really resonate with you? And like you said, Kirk, to build that template and have all of those questions and ask all of the candidates all of those same questions so that you can continue to build the right culture with your hires.
Yeah. One caveat to what you just said so well is, you know, don't just do core values for your hiring process, because we see that too. People are like, oh, I'm going to develop core values because I'm trying to look for, no, develop core values to create an amazing team over time. And a lot of people spend so much of their marketing efforts, you know, marketing their dentistry or their skills or how cool their practice is. I think one of the best marketing things you can do is scream from the mountaintop and have your team do it around your values, because it's going to attract a higher quality of team member year over year. You know, I think companies and practices alike have become more and more competitive in the hiring process. This is where you stand out and you ultimately attract the right type of people that change your life, and you can change their lives too, because there's a lot of great people out there that are looking for this. So, Heather, I love this conversation. I love that you shared, and that was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kirk.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. I got to say this again and again, this is not an easy process. Finding, keeping, retaining, growing the right people. And the hiring process is harder than ever. Now team members can literally, or prospective hires can go to your Indeed ad. They can copy it. They can paste it in ChatGPT and they can say, write me the perfect resume and cover letter to get me hired. So you've got to up your game because AI is being used so much. And by asking the right questions, the question is the right answer. You get the right questions, you're going to create a better process and find the right people. It does work. Like Heather mentioned, the Bent Erickson hiring FAQs, it is brilliant. It's one of my favorite resources ever. And it's back there in the BPA. If you haven't joined the Best Practices Association, what are you waiting for? You don't have to think about any of this. This is all we do. We geek out on this stuff all day long. So instead of trying to figure out what they are, we walk you through the process. You're going to see that in there. And if this, all of this is just a little bit overwhelming, don't worry. We've got help for you. We have an amazing therapist. Her name is Gina. And you can share all of your thoughts with her and she'll guide you to the right direction. So we're here for you guys. So thank you guys for showing up. Thanks for spreading the great word. Heather, thanks for being on today. You're amazing. And stick around when we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening as always. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching, keep sharing, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.